Good morning. Welcome to our worship service this morning. We hope that those who are gathered here in person and those listening and watching online will feel God's presence and hear what messages he has for our hearts today as we continue our journey into the book of Philippians. To start our worship this morning, let's join together in song, Voices Together, number 29. Come, now is the time to worship. And the words will be up on the screen if you don't have a book. This morning's call to worship is taken from Psalm 30, verses 4 to 5 and 11 to 12. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people, praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. You turned my wailing into dancing, you removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever. Let's pray. God, open our ears to hear your word. Open our eyes to see your presence. Open our arms to embrace of the community. Open our minds to the beauty of truth. Open our hearts to the joy of new life. Amen. Let's once again go to the Voices Together songbook for our next song, number 332, In Christ Alone. Let's stand if you're able.
Thank you. Good morning. And welcome here to all of you who are present in this building and those who are present in other buildings, in other sanctuaries, in other places, with other people. You are still just as welcome as those who have come here to this location this morning. And thank you to Ike for assisting us. You know, these things are not easy, especially when everybody is looking at the screen and watching that little mouse move around. It's a tough task. It's just as difficult as sitting at the piano, especially when the piano is right up here in the front. And if you hit one wrong note, you know where all the eyes are going, straight to the piano. So let's have grace and mercy for everyone involved. And I think that was a lovely song. Well, of course, I did because I chose it. But it was also chosen by the Women in Mission group about a month ago, I believe, that we heard Pearl playing it on the piano. And we didn't quite know all the words, so I thought this was a perfect opportunity for us as the whole congregation to sing it together. And that really sums it all up. That was the song of our belief. So if you feel like dozing off right about now, I think you got everything. And if you missed the song, well, then you have to stay awake. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we humble ourselves before you to recognize you as God, as our Father, our loving parent, who knows how to give good gifts to his children. We thank you. Thank you for giving yourself to your children. Thank you for the gift of faith that you have given to us, that even the belief in you, the recognition of who you are, is a gift. You are the giver of all good things. And with gratitude and humility, we say thank you. Thank you for this country. Of course, recognizing the imperfections, recognizing the atrocities, recognizing the history that is not all good and right and just. And so, in humility and recognition of that, we humble ourselves and we confess together we have sinned. We have sinned against you and against our neighbors. We do not slough off sin. We do not put it behind us and say, no, 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 it wasn't me. We bow before you, the just and good and true God, and with confidence, we say yes to what you already know about us. You know who we are. You know what we are made of. And we bring ourselves before you, knowing that you have said what we confess, you are ready to forgive. What we don't confess, what we hide, what we hold on to, cannot be forgiven, cannot be cleansed. Help us to continue to humble ourselves before you and before one another, before all of our neighbors. Our neighbors present, our neighbors past, the neighbors nearby and the neighbors far away. We pray that you would soften our hearts as well, to be able to hear your Holy Spirit speaking personally into each one of us. Sometimes the sins are communal. Sometimes the sin is the church universal. Sometimes the sin is very personal, and you alone know it and see it. All of these things we together come and bring and bear as our offering to you. As willingly as we brought our monetary offerings throughout the week, this also we bring to you. We bring our very character and personalities as well, as we carry these around just like we carry our wallets around. We bring to you, and we pray for your redemption of all things, just as we pray sincerely for our neighbors to the south. We see so clearly all the errors of their ways, and we pray for them. We pray for those who are struggling against injustice. Empower them. But just as we see clearly there, help us to see clearly when we look in the mirror, to see ourselves also. We thank you for what we see around us, for the way that you have demonstrated your love and your care in so many ways, in very real, tangible ways, the experiences of neighbors next door, ready to help. And we pray that you would help us to be those kinds of neighbors as well, with eyes looking for opportunities to join together with you where you are already at work. And so we pray and we thank you for the neighbors that we see right around our building in these streets, right around us here in this section of Swift Current. Thank you for them, and we pray for each one of them. Open our eyes to ways that we can communicate with them, we can embrace them, we can support them. Not just when they come in these doors, but that we would find ways of extending ourselves, our hands, our hearts, to all those around us, to all those that we come into contact with. We pray for those in BC, especially in Lytton, who have experienced such loss. We pray for those who have experienced loss of home in other places. We pray for those who are still struggling against COVID in so many ways, so many places. We pray for the other churches that join together with us in our prayer and our desire to see your kingdom come here in Swift Current as well as around the world. We pray for Trailview, we pray for Rostern Mennonite, and we pray for their leaders. Thank you for joining us together as this one community, this one body right here. And we pray for each other, for the needs that have not been expressed, for the needs and the cares, the concerns, the pain that is very, very close to the heart, which can't be spoken. We invite your Holy Spirit to heal, to accompany, to speak words of encouragement and hope into each of our lives, not only this morning, but throughout this week, as we go from this place. And so with one united voice, we pray just like you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This morning's scripture reading is taken from Philippians 2, verses 1 to 11. I'll be reading from the New International Version. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, and even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, sometimes after the service, after lunch, after Mittagsschlop, then all of a sudden it comes to me, oh, I forgot to pray before the sermon. It's very strange how little tidbits from our experience together can just pop up in different ways throughout the day and throughout the week. And so to me, it doesn't make me feel so bad anymore. Sometimes it's like, oh, darn, why did I forget that? But it also encourages me because then I realize, okay, the Holy Spirit is reminding me. So I trust that the Holy Spirit will also be reminding each one of us throughout the week of different things that we also need to remember. So we don't need to just, you know, get it all in all at once in this one short hour. We're present, we hear, we participate, and then we go from here, and those seeds will grow and hopefully bring fruit or vegetables, one of the above. So today's sermon is entitled, This is Outrageous. And looking at the text from Philippians chapter 2, you might think that's the opposite of outrageous. This is the most common piece of scripture, I would think, that is used for all kinds of occasions. It says, like that song that we sang earlier, it says exactly what we believe. And as we heard Carla reading it, she didn't read anything that made us gasp. Did anyone here gasp in shock and awe when Carla read the text? There was no gasping other than air for intake, right? There wasn't, because it's just like, yeah, okay, uh-huh, yep, that's good. And then Carla sat down. Next. Isn't that right? Go ahead, we can confess it, because we've heard this, we know it, we agree with it. So where is the outrage? And that's what I wanted to know as I was studying this text. For a week, I was studying not only this text, but I was studying the history of the Roman occupation in the area of Philippi. And as I studied that history, I became more and more outraged, not at the history, but also at what Paul had the courage and the audacity to say to the people at Philippi. Everything he wrote here was in direct contravention to the experience that was happening in Philippi, to the political, the geopolitical experience of those people in that area. It was quite shocking. And that he would have the courage to write that, it's just like, wow, I wish I could be that kind of a preacher. In fact, that was one of the answers I put on my application to seminary. I wanted to be a preacher the way Paul was, you know, a writer, and the way that he uses texts and pulls ideas from different places. But I wanted to make sure that my preaching would then be orthodox, because you don't want to just be new and wild and way out there and totally off the mark. There has to be some impact. So when we hear in 2021, in the early summer, when all we can think about is, oh, I need to get home to my air conditioning, or what am I going to have for lunch, or when am I going to see my family again, and we hear this scripture, where is the impact? Where is the outrage? Where even does it touch our lived experience, other than just to nod off and say, yeah, mm-hmm. This text and the way Paul was speaking into his lived experience and the experience of the Philippians was an outrage. But before we get to that, remember Philippians is supposed to be the book or the epistle or the letter of what? Joy, exactly. And this is the third in a series of Philippian experiences. And I want to know, where's the joy again? Where's the joy? Okay, well, we can find it here in chapter 2. Woohoo! We finally got to joy. Chapter 2, I think I heard Carla read it, verse 2. And it starts off really, really well. And so we can start this and think, oh, isn't this pleasant? This is going to be a very nice time on a Sunday morning. Good goals for happiness. Before I get there, I have two questions. Has anybody ever driven on the Autobahn? Yes, there are some. Yes, I have never. I've heard experiences of that. This text should be like you driving the wrong way down the Autobahn. Imagine. Okay, if you don't know what the Autobahn is, down the freeway. Okay, down the Trans-Canada Highway. But on the wrong side, going the wrong way. That is what this text should bring to mind. Second thing, this is another little bit of a history question. I'm checking to see what the name of this person is. I wrote him down somewhere. Oh, there. Johnny Lee. Anybody? Johnny Lee. Come on, Hank. I expected Hank's hand to go. Oh, I know who that is. No one? Looking for love in all the wrong places. Okay, the song, you know. Oh, yeah. Okay. Just erase love and put joy in there. Looking for joy in all the wrong places. Here we're in Philippians. We're looking for joy. We need a little bit of a pick-me-up. And our problem is that we're looking for joy in all the wrong places. So here we have, let's look for joy in the right places. We can expect Paul is going to give us good advice. And here are some good goals for happiness or joy. If there's any encouragement, Good. Encouragement, yes. Consolation from love, okay, good. We've got love, we've got encouragement. Sharing in the Spirit, good. Compassion, sympathy, wow. These are all good, aren't they? Don't you all feel good so far? We're going to hear all about sympathy and compassion. Oh, wow. And then verse 2, make my joy complete. Yes. Oh, this is going to be good. This, how can we make our pastor happy? Well, that's what Paul is saying. Paul says, make my joy complete, people. This is what I want from you. Here we go. And he says, be of the same mind. Put on the brakes. Having the same love, being in full accord and one mind. Okay, it's a little tough. Start looking around, and you're supposed to be of the same mind and one accord with all of these people that you see here together with you, and the ones that you remember sitting in the benches in other places. That's how Paul's joy is going to be made complete. The same mind. Be of one mind, full accord. Remember the last congregational meeting you went to? Or the one before that? Or ones of history past? Full accord, one mind. Oh, and then verse 3. Slam on your brakes. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Well, we wouldn't call it conceit. I wouldn't call myself conceited. I'm just better than most people here. It's kind of self-evident. I'm speaking for each one of us. Of course, in the quiet voice that we don't say out loud. But Paul is urging us all to be of one mind. Don't think of yourself as just, oh, well, I understand the scriptures better than this person over here. Or I can do this, or I can do that. Or what might even be worse is I will condescend to these others and say, oh, I'm glad we're all part of this body. And in my mind, I'm just here. I'm just a little bit up. I don't know if I'm touching any nerves. Think deep. And be ready, as I mentioned earlier, to be confessing. Because this is where Paul is saying, this is the heart of where joy is. Being of one mind, one spirit, and not thinking of ourselves as better than others. And already here is where he is running into problems with the Philippians, because the very goals that they were trying to obtain was to demonstrate that they weren't like all of the other riffraff around them. They weren't like these other poor slaves or like these other people who were just concerned about themselves. They were actually concerned. I'm concerned about my neighbor. I'm concerned about the community. I'm concerned about the society. Oh, and then the Romans would listen to that and say, oh, correct answer. This is very good. Concerned about the society, yes. And so in this city, their goal, their task was to prove that they were going for the betterment of the society, lifting up the society. They would gain economic advantage, let's say make a lot of money, and they wouldn't say, look how rich I am, I'm richer than everyone else. No, they would take that money and then put it into the society, donate it, or build up the society. And then the Roman officials would look and say, aha, special honor to this person. Check. And that was the goal. The goal was not money. The goal was not to help others. The goal was to get the honor for myself. I'll work hard, I'll get all sorts of economic benefits, and then I will make this big grand gesture of a donation, and then all honor will be bestowed on me. That was the goal. That was the society at that time. And we think, oh, that's no good. Yeah, it's easy for us to see because that's way back then. That's them, that's not us. Let me quote from Cicero, who was a politician, philosopher at that time. You've all heard of Cicero, I'm sure. This is what he said. By nature, we yearn and hunger for honor. And once we have glimpsed, as it were, some part of its radiance, there is nothing we are not prepared to bear and suffer in order to secure it. I'll bear anything just to get honor. That was the society at that time. So all of their struggle was to gain honor in the eyes of the society. The worst thing you could do in the society, now I'm just skipping over a little bit, the worst thing you could possibly do was to have an alternative lord. You could have a subversive assembly. You could be deliberately disengaged from the society's practices, from Roman cult, gods, and symbols. These were horrible, horrible acts according to the Roman rule at that time. So these were the worst things you could do. The best thing you could do was to build the society up and gain honor and demonstrate that you were not as the others. That was the best you could do. So how does Paul write into that society? How does Paul address those things and say, put on the brakes, you're going the wrong way when you are going down this autobahn? This is the wrong direction. You need to go the other way. What does he do? There is a totally different way of viewing our lives. First of all, here, right here in what he has written, here is our valedictorian. I use that speech because it's graduation. Almost all of you have had experiences with graduation in some form or another this year. Are there any grandparents here? Oh, a few. Any proud grandparents here? A few, yes. And you love to talk about the accomplishments of your grandchildren and the degrees that they got and the jobs that they will get. Yes, those are good things, good accomplishments. But here is our valedictorian. We choose the valedictorian according to the GPA, the smartest person in the class, the one who is most connected with other activities, who does volunteer work, all of these different things, am I right? That's what a valedictorian is, right? The brightest and the best from our class. Here is ours. And this is what Paul puts forward as our valedictorian. And he writes the CV of Jesus. Curriculum vitae. Here is the CV of Jesus, our valedictorian. And what is his name, his skills, his work, his qualifications, and his references? This is our brightest and our best. He was in the form of a God. He himself was God. He did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. You can stroke that word out if you like, or add a different word in your notes, not in your Bible, hopefully. I won't give you the Greek word for this, but the connection is not something to be harpooned. harpooned, a grappling iron, a flesh hook. That's really visceral, isn't it? That is something that is so, it just stirs up all sorts of things within us. That is the impact of this word that Paul says here. He didn't harpoon or use a grappling hook, a flesh hook, to hang on to these things that actually would have set Jesus above the rest. He didn't hang on to it. Oh, man, my brakes are screeching right now. Because everything that I am doing, either if I'm in that society or maybe even this one, is to get better grades than the other people in my class, to get a job that is better than some other people. I compete with others to get a better position. Am I wrong? Am I too right? Our whole society is bent on, you know, pushing the others away gently at first, unless they get too close to your own goal. Then you start using the elbows because you want that. That's for you. This is going to make me happy. This is going to make my life complete. In fact, this is going to really make my grandparents happy because my grandparents are paying for my education. The things that we show to others as being worth value, they will also then value. I'm not saying tell your grandkids it doesn't matter what kind of grades you have, or don't study hard, or don't work hard. I'm not saying that. But I think maybe it's something that we should take a look at. Our example here, our valedictorian, didn't grab onto the things that he had. He was actually God. And you know what also is just totally outrageous here? The Roman leaders, the emperors, they practiced this apotheosis. They were supposed to be as gods to the people, right? They accomplished peace and security and economic welfare and all of that to the people. You should appreciate me. I have given you all of this. You should recognize what I have done for you. When I come around, you should smile. You should shake my hand. You should even say, wow, good job. You should recognize that I'm pretty godlike because I'm giving you all of these wonderful things in your life. Here, the leader for us, our valedictorian, said Paul writes, he was God. He was God. Right there. This is dangerous. They could have thrown Paul in prison for this. Oh, just a second. They did! Who of you likes Rollkuchen and Rabouz? Nobody? Not a single hand, people. Okay, there are a couple of hands. Okay, well, Rabouz is watermelon, for those of you who didn't understand my terrible German. Who likes those two together? Mm-hmm. Can you eat them separately? Yes, you can. But they both enhance each other's flavor when you have them together, right? Okay, so if you want to have them together, read this Philippians passage together with, now you can say which is the watermelon here, with Acts chapter 16, verse 4, right to the end of that chapter. It will enhance your experience of both of these scriptures in ways you had never imagined. Here we have Paul and the things that he was doing with the people that he was doing it. Do you remember Lydia? Lydia, the seller of purple. The rich person. She's from Philippi. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I didn't know that was all happening together. Okay, so bring it together. And there they told him, you are turning the world upside down by what you are writing. And sure enough, he was. Because their rulers were saying, we're like gods. And the people who had positions, who had already gained citizenship and power, were saying, come on, Acknowledge these people as gods. Come on, be patriotic. Oh, did I just say that? Be patriotic. Don't tell me there is no overlap here with what we are experiencing and what they were experiencing. Don't tell me that this is like an estate sale from your great-great-grandmother. That it, oh, they're outdated, they're antiques, this is out of fashion. This is today, here, and now. But we just can't recognize it because we are so steeped in the society that we're in. It's like the air that we breathe. We can't tell that we're breathing carbon monoxide. That's the danger that we're in. And we read this as if it is meaningless, as if it has no impact, when really we should be screaming out in the streets, and when we hear the news, this is outrageous. The thought patterns, the choices, our world and our society, this is outrageous. But we have become so comfortable here. We don't recognize the danger that we're in. What happens when you breathe carbon monoxide? Anybody? You know, if you start the car and have the garage door down, what happens? Yeah, exactly. You die. And that is the danger that we are in if we simply float along and continue down the autobahn that is our society and the society's way of thinking. That we don't even recognize from the texts themselves, with the Spirit of the living God in the text, we don't recognize that this is speaking right into our society. We nod off and say, oh, isn't that nice? Our valedictorian was God and released that and said, for your sake, I'll let go of that and I will become like a slave. And everyone in Philippi went, no, not a slave, because that was the last thing they wanted to be. Okay, what's the last thing you want to be? If you weren't who you are, if you weren't who you are in your status, your security, your family, your position, the history of your family, all of these things, don't they make you feel good? Oh, they make me feel good when I think about the way I struggled through university. I put myself through school. I worked hard. All of a sudden, I recognize, whoa, little emperor Lois is sitting on her throne, and she thinks she's going to be happy there, especially when others recognize that she's the emperor. That is not where joy is found. Looking for joy in all the wrong places. It's all wrong, and it is going to lead straight to death. Jesus said, I am willing to let go of all of that. I will take the form of a slave, the worst thing, the last thing you wanted to be. Jesus said, that's what I am going to do for your sake. That's our valedictorian. That is the best and the brightest that we have. That Jesus let go of everything and became the last thing we want to be. Now, this is really, really hard to see. It's really hard to recognize because we're breathing it all the time. I recognize it. You're not bad if you can't recognize where is the error of our society's ways. It helps if you are in connection with people of other cultures. They'll point it out to you every time. That's why it's uncomfortable to have other cultures in our church, because they're going to point it out every time. Let's just have the people that look like us and act like us and think like us together, because we don't point out anybody else's errors. We just go, smile, and go home. When you have cross-cultural experiences, whether it's other cultures coming in or you going to other cultures, other culture can also be generational. We need to have connection between generations because the younger people will be saying to us, you guys always do this, or you don't recognize that. They see the error of our ways. We can't see it anymore. We need others from other ways of thinking and being to show us. We have to look at our commodities market. I looked that up on the internet because that phrase came to me and I thought, that can't be right. Yes, and I remember listening to CHSM in Steinbeck, Manitoba, and when this boring guy would come on and start talking about boring commodities market, oh my word. But what is our commodities market? What is it that we want to gain and hoard and keep to lift ourselves up? What is it that we think we can buy and sell to lift ourselves above the rabble? Check our commodities market. Right here, verse 9, Paul reminds them, therefore, God exalted him, gave him the name above every other name, even the other names that had citizenship attached to them, even the other names that had honors attached to them, military honors. God exalted Jesus because he was willing to let everything go for our salvation. What is on our hook? What is on our grappling hook? What is that that you don't want to let go of? God exalted him, gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Now, at the name of Jesus, now that has become a profanity. At the name of Jesus, what? Nobody even turns, nobody thinks. The name of Jesus, is it something to be ashamed of? Are you connected to the name of Jesus? Do you claim the name of Jesus? Do you bow at the name of Jesus? And that is the heart of true joy. True worship is true joy. Let everything else go. Let it off your hook. Empty your hook. Release yourself and just acknowledge Jesus Christ, Jesus Messiah is Lord. Not myself. Nothing the society can give me. Jesus is Lord. There is true joy.
Thanks, Lois, for that message. As a song of response, let's take our blue hymnal, number 389, Take My Life. And because I like all the verses, we'll do them all. Please stand.
Take my life.
please bow for the benediction. Peace be to the whole community and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who have an undying love for our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.